Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hi, friends. It's Diane, and I have a great returning guest for you, because when we did her podcast about a month ago or so, we didn't cover even a fraction of this amazing woman's talents and skills and what she has to offer you in your life. So a returning guest today is Octavia Brooks, which I got her to come back on. I'm so excited she said yes to us. If you haven't heard her other episode, go back to episode number 75. It was released, I believe, on February 12th. That episode will give you a little bit about her, but we're going to dive deeper into some of her amazing strategies for success and personal health and happiness, and how she herself has brought her out of some really interesting places into somebody who is a powerhouse helping people live their perfect journey. So Octavia practices modern day shamanic healing. There we go. And she works with energy, and she works with amazing parts that are nonverbal. And you all have heard me talk before that 80% of our freedom and healing in the world is nonverbal. So those of us who are smart and verbal and intelligent can really get tricked and seduced into thinking that talking about things over and over will help us solve the problem. That is not the case. The case is that 80% of our freedom is something nonverbal. So even me, with my 30 years of working on things, still use nonverbal ways to help me free the inner parts of me that are unconscious that I didn't even know were there. In fact, Octavia has helped me personally a great deal. So I know that she's the real deal, or she would not be on the show a second time. You can bet that. So Octavia, thank you again for coming back on the show.
It's an absolute privilege to be here, Diane. Thank you.
I'm so excited that we get to talk a little bit more deeply about what you do and the ways you can help all of us be more successful and more happy. Because I think that we want to be successful, we want to be satisfied, we want to be more happy. And sometimes it eludes us because we're trying to figure it out. And I know, and you know, the answer's not in figuring. So I'd like to start today with you kind of giving us a little bit of who you are. Like, how did you get where you are? I mean, because it's magical. And I think sometimes people go, well, how did somebody land like that? And where, you know, what matters? And so if you could tell us a little bit about your journey and how you really began to embrace shamanic practices, that would really help us understand where we're going to go from here. And that is talk about how you help us with success.
Awesome. Well, it kind of goes way back. Actually, when I was in college, I had a friend in the house that I lived in who he liked to go to the psychic schools in Berkeley, California. And I'm like, that sounds really weird and fun. And so I tagged along with him, and that's where I first started hearing about different kinds of ideas. And what they taught was this basic meditation, which I think I'm going to share that in just a couple minutes. And the next thing that happened, and I had like a pretty huge breakup in my life, and I was a little crazy. And so I sought the help of a therapist, and I asked around in my community for referrals. And unbeknownst to me, this particular therapist was very spiritually connected and very connected to earth-based religions that we might call paganism, you know, tree huggers, that kind of thing. People who do ceremonies in groups and work with nature spirits and the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And this was a whole new bizarre world to me. And I became really fascinated because I experienced a lot of personal transformation in ceremony. So I was really happy to be introduced to this. That just started to open more doors and more doors and more doors. And through my spiritual experiences and always being a constant learner, like I have several passions, of course, but I love to learn. And over the course of years, I developed a spiritual toolkit as well as a psychological and success-oriented toolkit from working with different teachers and also going in and out of therapy a couple times here and there at these, you know, crunch moments in my life when I didn't want to repeat the same mistakes over again. And I picked up more and more tools along the way. And I developed in ceremony, and this is a pretty weird skill set that I have, where I have this, you know, open sight called shamanic sight, you know, which is very similar to psychic skills, but I'm not a reader. I use my sight in a very particular way. And I learned those through a lot of ceremonies. I've studied with a lot of teachers from Brazil and in those ceremonies. And Brazil is a really different culture than the United States culture. And they really have a fluidity in a belief system that, yes, spirits are all around us. And there are a lot of community organizations that do energy healing. And so I became really fascinated with this lineage from Brazil and in those techniques of spirit mediumship. And that's where I received a lot of these really beautiful spiritual guides who work with me. So I think that's a little bit of a snapshot of 30 years of being on my path. I don't want to go on too long.
Well, it's really fascinating because here you are, a very intelligent young person seeking help, and the therapist you go to in the traditional Western medicine arena has all of this other skill set that exposes you and starts you on a path toward a journey that you had no idea was coming. And because of your curiosity, which is a natural intellect thing, right? You have embraced a way to really help you be personally successful and help other people be successful in ways that aren't typical. And had you not followed that curious path to Brazil and all those other amazing places, then you wouldn't be here today offering the great gift that you're offering. So good job on the curiosity.
I think it's a profound skill, curiosity. In fact, it's driven me a little too hard at times, I'll just say.
Right. Well, in our gifted world, we call that having an intellectual overexcitability, where you get excited about something and you just dive all the way in, and that's the end. And until it satisfies you, you just keep digging and diving and digging and diving, you know, to the point where everybody around you is like, what are you doing? You have that overexcitability as a gifted person. And so a lot of people listening understand that piece right away. But who would figure it wouldn't have to do with technology or computers or something, that it would have to do something much grander and bigger that is so important to our healing and our success?
I'm quite a geek, you know, Diane. You might not realize that, but I actually do dip my toe into a lot of technology. I was an IT project manager for 12 years in a corporate world, so I'm super familiar with all of that stuff too.
So we have a shamanic healer who's a geek. I love it. See, it's called being a multi-potentialite.
I love it.
That's what it's called.
Sometimes they use the term humanaut. Like, we're just going to explore the fringes of human capacity and capability. We're just going to keep pushing the envelope.
Right. I love it. Okay. So you have some tips for success. And I'm always interested in more and more success personally, you know, like just having a better, more rich, full life. And I think most people I run into are. So I know you've shared with me many tips, but what would be like the lead off tip? If I was new to all this and I thought, okay, well, she's a geek and she's smart, so she's not too out there. And even if she is out there, maybe she has something to teach me. What could you teach us that would help us see the value in this shamanic energy work that is something we can grasp if we've never heard of it before?
Well, thank you so much for asking. I do have a lot of success tips. And I know that as we unfold this conversation, we're going to talk about how shamanism and success weave together. And one of the meditations I teach, so it's gotten pretty well known that all of the great successful people out there do some form of daily meditation, maybe only 10 or 15 minutes, but it really has actually been proven to set people on track for the day. So way back when I referenced that I went to the psychic schools, I took a couple classes, and very soon my own spirit guides taught me this meditation that I've been doing for umpty-ump years. And the reason I love it is it's relatively simple. It's a set of visualizations. It's simple for people that have a lot of mind chatter because it gives your mind kind of something to do while you're sitting there meditating and not worrying about your day. I am a big fan of silent meditation. I'm not really good at it, but I'm a big fan. So this gives your mind something to do, and it strengthens your core self. And when you think about the difference between like just landing at a meeting or in a networking group or even at an interview without preparing yourself, this would be the difference between not having done this meditation and having done this meditation. Would you be more successful if you could have poise, if you could be one of those people that just has a natural grace and confidence to them? Those are the kind of people that we are attracted to being around. Those are the kind of people who get hired. Those are the people who get networked with. Those are the people who have the best friends. So this meditation helps you strengthen that core part of you. So I like to work with two polarities, and these are two energies that are infinite, and they have their own intelligence to them. I know that might be a little bit of a leap of faith. However, one of the energies is the earth energy, and a lot of people do believe that there is some consciousness to the planet. So when you bring in the earth energy, we're bringing in the consciousness of this third dimensional plane. And the other energy I like to work with is universal energy. People can call that their own preference. They might want to call it something to do with the divine or like God or angelic forces. They might want to think of it as sky energy or star energy. It's, to me, that's, it's all the great above, and it's all part of the same energy. So what I teach people to do is focus on the base of their spine. If anybody has familiarity with the chakra system, that would be the first chakra. And then you imagine that a part of your body can just kind of pour out of the your spine and down into the earth. And I'm helping people energetically understand this while I'm speaking here. And that naturally just drops like very deep relaxation. This is called your grounding cord, and it connects all the way down to the center of the earth. And then we bring the earth energy all the way back up, and we can get a handshake from the earth. There are some people that are really high strung, have a lot of trouble connecting to the earth, but the earth is ready for our invitation, and she can partner with us and connect our with our bodies. So the earth energy naturally flows up, and it flows up along the inside of our spine through each of our chakras and all the way up through the center of us and to the top of our head. And here at the top of our head, we're going to imagine that a part of our consciousness, our awareness, our thinking energy, our, you know, if what's the difference between a dead person and a live person, that stuff. And you send it out of the top of your head, which is the seventh chakra, the crown chakra, and the earth energy is right alongside. So you're taking the earth energy for a ride along your consciousness. And now that part of you just shoots out the sky and through the atmosphere and across all the reaches of space. That part of you has a homing instinct, and it naturally connects to this very, very, very high vibrational place that I like to refer to as the center of the universe. We just call it the central heart of the universe if you'd like. And your energy just naturally knows how to connect there. And then you can, and the earth energy is connected there. And now you've got this wire of earth energy running through you. And let's complete the wiring by bringing a line of energy from the universe all the way back across the reaches of space into the earth's atmosphere. And now just very naturally and gradually, just super gently, little butterfly wings entering in the top of your head. And imagine it's going through the center of your head, through your throat, and then along the inside of your spine, connecting through each one of your chakras. And when it gets all the way down to the bottom to your first chakra, it just shoots down to the center of the earth. So now you have is what I call, you have a column of light flowing in your center. And this visualization strengthens that internal part of you, that our internal strength. It empowers our internal strength. And there's more pieces to this. I don't want to drag it out too much. As each of those energies enter into each one of our chakras, we get a blessing for that the area of our life that chakra works with. For example, our heart is related to connecting with other people and living our joyful purpose. So we're getting a blessing from these two infinite energies, and they bring our energy back in, pull and magnetize. When we're excitable or anxious or overthinking, we're not really all the way in our body. And that's perceived by other people as, you know, you don't have confidence and you are nervous and you're being too geeky or too nerdy, and I'm not interested in being around you. I'm not comfortable around that. So this visualization helps us bring our energy back into our body, and we can have that confident and graceful poise. So thank you so much for letting me share that. That's one of my, I do that every single day, maybe multiple times a day, my daily energy balancing and tune-up.
Oh, that was beautiful. I was following you as you were speaking, feeling it in me. And I'd heard lots of different variations, but that's the first variation I've heard that way. And it really touched me deeply. So thank you for sharing that with us.
My pleasure.
So as you all can tell, Octavia has the intellectual and the high energy understanding of some of these amazing things that she's teaching us. And so I said earlier that she does a lot of shamanic work. And when I first heard that word, I always thought it had to do with indigenous cultures, which it does. And I know some of the shamans from some of the tribes in the United States are actually the friends of mine. However, what I learned about Octavia shortly after I met her was that there's a whole nother way to look at shamanic work that includes and also kind of transcends and builds upon that whole system. So I'm wondering if you could, I know this is a big question, share with us a little bit about the kind of shamanic work you do. And because I know everybody's probably thinking what I'm thinking, and that is the Native American people and the other indigenous people and the shamans are the healers of the tribe. And great. Okay. And that's how we think of it. And it's probably different with every tribe a little bit. I mean, I kind of have those pictures. And you've worked with me and you've shared with me, and I'm like, okay, what I'm experiencing here has a little bit different of a flavor. So I imagine that you can explain to us kind of what this modern day, I guess, I don't know if that's what you'd call it, version or iteration of shamanic practice is. So help us with this kind of differentiation.
Let me do a little bit of compare and contrast. And I want to backtrack a tiny little bit about tribal shamanism. And a lot of people may not, that this could be completely different terminology. So Diane already said that the shamans are the healers of a tribe. This is a role that is ubiquitous across all tribes in all parts of the world. And I really wanted to point that out. All tribes have this role where the shaman kind of fixes whatever's happening with you or your or the tribe or the community. And you could have a physical pain or issue. You could have bad luck. Maybe you're having trouble finding a mate or a partner. Maybe another tribe, you think somebody's cursed you from another tribe. These are all the different kinds of huge variety of problems that you would bring a shaman. And there's a guy who wrote a really cool book called The Cosmic Serpent, who studied, was an anthropologist and studied these tribal cultures. And he adds the shaman to tell him, what kind of visions do you get when you're working? Because your spirit guides are telling you what to do and how to work on a client or a patient. and he drew some of the pictures. It took this anthropologist 6 years of studying all the different branches of the sciences, you know, chemistry, biology, all these different branches, to understand that the shaman was literally seeing a chromosome and was being directed to correct a DNA strand or some DNA material in the chromosome in order to correct a problem with this particular ill person that they were working on. So this is really a shamanic site. In our culture, we have these silos, but the shamanic role cuts across all these different platforms, all these different sciences and arenas. So now I want to talk about the kind of compare and contrast with the modern shamanism. I come from a different culture. I come from the American culture, and the American culture is a melting pot of cultures. And even when I first started out with paganism, we connected with the energies of gods and deities from many different cultures. So I have a huge exposure to so many different concepts. I've done a lot with New Age stuff. I've done some stuff with Hinduism. And I bring all that together. And in the last few years, I've really looked at psychology and from a new light with this idea of success psychology. And I've learned about how we need to reprogram our subconscious and the absolute value of neuroplasticity and staying in the curiosity and not going into old mental habits and patterns that aren't serving us. And I'm saying these in just a few words, and it really can take a lot of time to unravel these old patterns that are stuck in our subconscious that are preventing us from moving ahead in our lives. Like procrastination is one of the key things that comes as a symptom of childhood programming that's just embedded in our mind. So because I'm putting all of these things together and working with clients, what I've noticed is that the energy healing that I do in the shamanic work through soul retrievals and shamanic journeys is, and maybe I'll have time to explain what those terms mean, it increases the neuroplasticity in the mind, which gives us a moment, a leverage point to reprogram our subconscious into better and more productive habits. And so this is why in a session with me, I take the intake. What are the issues that you're having? We do a shamanic healing ceremony. And oftentimes, 90% of the time, there is some soul retrieval involved and energy healing adjustments and calibrations and lots of different shifts and changes. And then at the end of the session, we talk about, let's assume that you're a different person now. And what do you want out of your life right now? Okay, here's how to talk to yourself so that you can reprogram your mind through affirmations and the way you walk in the world and the actions that you're taking and the perspective that you live from in order to be successful, because you're in a moment here. You have just cleared the decks of that old programming. Don't let it come back. Put some new programming in there. So that's what I consider myself as a modern shaman from my own culture. And these shamans operate within their own cultures and their own worldviews, and I operate within the American United States worldview, which is, you know, we're weaving all these things together, and we're so success driven in our culture that I kind of had to weave that in too.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm like, yes, when we did our session, you gave me affirmations at the end. And I remember as you were giving them to me going, oh my God, that's perfect. Oh my God, that's perfect. You know, and it was so aligned, and they were sentences I would never have thought of on my own. And it was transformative in nature in lots of ways that I don't even know if I can have words to explain. And I know it's very real. So I was wondering where the success part came into it all. And so I'm glad you mentioned how that all worked into it for you. And I think of, you know, kind of being curious about the whole melting pot is a really smart thing, because there's so many interesting ways to look at things. And I was reminded about a friend of mine who owns a health company, that is amazing. And he is definitely a healer, and I'll bet you he does some shamanic things as well. He's great. And he says, you know, different people think, well, if I'm in India, the India herbs are the only ones that are okay. And if I'm in Mexico, then those are the only herbs that are okay. In America, those are the only ones. He goes, not me. If you look at my products, it's what's on the globe. But because Mother Earth is here for all of us, we happen to be in different regions, but the herbs across continents still can complement each other. And when he said that, it just warmed my heart. This was a few years ago. And then I've since then spent a lot of time with him at his retreat in California, going, you know, that kind of open mindset is what sets everything apart. And you're reminding me with your work of what he's doing in a different venue, obviously, but the same idea of really honoring all of the energies of the universe and Mother Earth and all of it. It's all one big, great, amazing storehouse of healing and wonder and success. So that's really neat. I would like you to explain soul retrieval, because you use that phrase and I think I know what it means, but I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. I have a guess. So that people can understand when you said that, what that means, because it sounds a little woo-woo. And I'll bet you it's not as woo-woo as it sounds.
Well, there's definitely some parallels in psychology, and I can walk through that. And thank you for the question. It's pretty much the main tool that shamans use. And they first, let me paint a little bit of a context. Why would you need to go and retrieve a piece of your soul? I mean, like, really? So when we have traumatic events, either in this lifetime or in a past life, it kind of binds up our energy. So one example is kids that might have experienced mental or emotional, maybe even physical or sexual kinds of abuse situations. It's well known in psychology that one of the coping strategies that we would adopt is to just kind of check out. And part of us dissociates in order to cope and get through that moment when the abuse is happening. That's an example. Sometimes that dissociation, you might not really come back all the way. And I've experienced with clients that don't really live in their bodies all the way, and then they have profound health issues, or they have a lot of trouble with they're struggling with their weight, relationship with food, and or lots of different issues can spawn from this, and then of course get programmed into the subconscious and hold us back. So extrapolating from that, what I've noticed is there can also be issues with past lives where a soul has had multiple lifetimes in a certain learning arena. Like, for example, they're learning about courage, so they have had to face a lot of fears from different angles: mother, father, child, warrior, king, all these different kinds of lifetimes where the soul is learning about a particular area. And loss is one of those recurring themes. As a soul, we want to experience loss in the third dimension in many different ways. We might lose our family or something. So between those kinds of soul patterns or traumatic deaths, like let's say we're one of those types of people like I am, where we have a really sensitive nervous system and we die by fire. You know, a lot of witches were burned, and a lot of us have some kind of soul memory of having been burned for our beliefs, or being, you know, tortured or something for our spiritual beliefs. These kinds of really traumatic death scenarios or long drawn out deaths, maybe where you die in a desert from, you know, these kinds of situations create soul level traumas. When a client comes to me, and I never know exactly how these sessions are going to unfold, but a client comes to me and they say, I have these types of symptoms and I'm kind of sick of it. I've worked with other people, can't seem to dig into this. And I call all different kinds of guides, and I open the ceremony, and I open my shamanic site. And it's like I'm traveling down a tunnel, and maybe that's a timeline, and I see these points of trauma along the timeline. And then I go all the way back to the root cause. I ask my guides, take me to the first time this pattern happened. And that's where the most interesting stories unfold. No session is alike. No soul retrieval is alike. I've encountered some of these past life scenarios like I've described, fallen royalty, rags to riches, riches to rags scenarios, lots of different torture, cursing. You know, in times past, there were a lot more belief systems around magic and woo than we have today. And people were pretty masterful at hurting people with those mechanisms. So my guides and I, we go back and we correct the energy of that situation. This might also be reminding the soul, hey, you're a soul. You're a multidimensional being. You were just wearing the clothes of that lifetime. That was just an experience, but really, truly, you're free. And all of these kinds of things heal and straighten out the energy. And then this energy has been locked away. This soul energy, it's been locked away behind these closed doors, can then return back to the person. Oftentimes it goes back into a part of their body where they've been experiencing pain, or frequently comes into the nervous system and allows our body to communicate more effectively. And it returns back to that person and they feel lighter, they feel more free, they feel that they can achieve their greater capacity, their greater potential in life. They don't struggle so much with motivation or inspiration. They feel more connected. So all of these types of things come back to people depending on their particular situation. They get a boost in their life. So that's why soul retrieval is such a profound tool for the shamanic practitioner. I mean, it's so important. And you can do soul retrieval on your own using shamanic journeys too.
Oh, that's amazing. And I know you offer shamanic journeys, and so I will have a chance. I want to have you share about that as we go along. But I'm listening to you, and I just have to share my little story about how before I had you on the first time, and you were like, well, so you can get a taste of what I'm really about. How about if I do a session with you first? And I said, okay, because I'm like curious and open. I'm kind of like you. I'm such a geek that way. I just want to learn everything I can. And we did that. And I was like, wow, I feel really different. So we've done a couple since then. And today, I can actually say that this pain I have had in my back that has made it so that I had a significant limp for a while. And I was really starting to give up and think that I was just getting old. I was told by all the Western medicine people that it's age and you're just getting old and look at your advanced years and all of those things. And I don't feel advanced years. So it was very conflicting for me because of the work with you. And then I have a really great massage therapist too. But because of the work with you, I'm walking around pain-free now. With pain that's been in my body for 10 years and getting progressively worse and aging me very fast.
It's amazing. And
nobody in the regular traditional world even was close to a way to even relieve it a little bit. I was just being told I was going to have to live with it and just get injections and all of these things. And so I had no idea what that offer was about. When you offered it to me, I just think, you're neat and I like you, and why not give it a shot, see what she's about. It'd be fun to interview her after having an experience. Now I can honestly say that not only do I feel better and in my body more and those things, but a significant pain that was really, really negatively affecting my life in ways not too many people even understand. Like everything was difficult. Everything. I couldn't do the dishes or anything. I would wake up at night with pain and just keep plowing through the day serving people and hurting the whole time. And I haven't had any pain in a couple of days. So it really works in a way that I can't even understand. When you were saying things during that session, I'm like, I don't know where she's getting all this, but somehow it feels right. None of it made logical sense. And all of it came together as complete freedom on levels I didn't even know I wasn't free. Like I didn't know I was, I guess that's the unconscious part, right? I didn't know that I was unconsciously in this really, really weird place. I didn't know all those trauma. I didn't know. I had no memory of any of it. However, when you were speaking, I never had the sense that what you were saying was false. So I knew on some level that there was a knowingness. It was just the most powerful, amazing experience. So enough about me. I want to hear it from you, but I think I just want to share that because I'm compelled to say, wow, I wasn't sure what I was getting into. And I am so grateful that I am a geeky, overthinking, gifted person who loves to check out stuff, who is the most one of the most curious people I know. Because had I not been a geeky, overthinking, multi-potentialite person who checks out everything, I might have ruled out the one thing that I believe is like saving me and the rest of my career and my happiness for the rest of my days. So how cool is that, right?
Wow.
Anyway, so thank you. And thank you for the work you do for everyone else on behalf of all of us, because it's profound and it's not rational in some ways and it's fully rational in other ways. And I love it. Anyway, so we're going to go on because I could go on forever. And this is about you, not me. I tell all my clients all the time that 80% of our healing is nonverbal, that you could talk to me all day long and you can talk to therapists all day long and you can talk to anybody all day long and you can do all of that. And that's great. But it's only about 20%. You really need to do things that are nonverbal, like meditation and sound healing and massage and dance and yoga. There's lots of things. And you mentioned earlier energy healing as well. I believe, and I teach a lot, especially to people who aren't really sure about how to picture the universal energy. I just talk that it's energy and it's vibration. And if you're feeling shame or fear or upset, you're on a lower vibration than if you're feeling love, peace, and joy, like subwoofer versus meditation music, right? So if we're all energy and you can't kill energy, you can just transmute it and change it. It would seem to me that healing energy has that kind of flavor, taking like a lower energy of maybe pain or fear or grief or shame and finding a way to help elevate it to a place that is much more productive and positive and satisfying for the people. Am I close?
Well, yeah. I mean, we could get into quantum physics here if you want.
Sure. Explain how energy healing and quantum physics kind of go together. Because I think it's a key thing, because people think that energy healing is for those, you know, those people, and they don't understand it is quantum physics is at the heart of energy healing. Actually.
Yeah. It's, and I haven't had a chance yet to read a whole bunch of books on quantum physics. However, this physicists have, you know, they're maybe a little disconcerted to figure this out, but they figured out that this material world here is not so very material. At its fundamental component, it's a bunch of strings moving around, vibrational strings moving around, like the strings on a guitar or cello. And when those strings are vibrating at a higher frequency, those things seem to be related to the happiness and joy. And when they're vibrating really slow, it seems to be related to illness and depression and those kinds of lower feelings. So it makes sense to me. We are made out of energy, so that if we change our energy state, we're more likely to have more of the things in our life we want. The more we're vibrating at that higher vibrational state, and there's, you know, I could get into some more success tips around this. The more we're vibrating at that higher vibrational state, the more we're magnetizing. Again, this is another quantum physics concept. The more we think about beautiful things that we want in our lives, and then we're living from that frame of reference and almost disconnecting from the world that's around us and living from our dream life. You know, some people would say, oh, you're a daydreamer. Oh, you're just always fantasizing. I'm a fan of imagination and daydreaming and wonder. And I spend a lot of time every day manifesting my dream life by spending time with the vision of my dream life and making it more real than whatever I see kind of in the outer world. So that's an energetic state change that is magnetizing the things that I most desire towards me in my life. So that's why I'm a big fan of energy healing. I think when our subconscious is sending messages to the universe that aren't in alignment with what we want in our lives, then we just can't figure out, why am I having the same terrible job with a different company? Why am I having the same terrible relationship with a different person? And these patterns keep returning. We don't feel like we have any control over that. And so the energy healing really facilitates us getting a handle on our vibration that we're sending out and the vibrational messages that we're sending out to the world. So those vibrational messages will be a match for the ideal, delightful career that brings us pleasure every day, the ideal, delightful partner who brings us joy in our life. So we need to match our vibration with the vibration of what we desire in our lives. And I think energy healing is fundamental to that. And then a lot of repetition in our minds. Because here's what I want to say. The subconscious doesn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. If you emphasize your quote-unquote fantasy world a lot more than the world outside you, the quote-unquote like real world, your subconscious has no idea what the difference is, and your subconscious is the one that's sending out the vibrations into the universe. Subconscious is the drives, the motivations, the inspirations. It's how you carry yourself, and that's why you want to bring your subconscious into alignment with your conscious desires. And I think energy healing is a key component of success, and that's why I mentioned that meditation at the beginning. Every day, you can just tune up your energy and state gratitude is the other one. I'm sorry, I'm rambling now, but gratitude is another really high vibrational energy to carry around with you all the time.
Yes. So the people who are talking about gratitude journals and all of that are on the right path. And so when we expand it from just the intellect and we expand it out into more of us, so we bring in more of the energy, then we see a lot more results and a lot more shifting and changing than just keeping it blocked up in our head, living from the neck up. So that's a really important point, I think, you know, that there's way more going on than our brain can even comprehend or understand. So much more. And when we're open to that and have some trusting in the greater of the universe, that, and we get to play in that and we get to have fun with that, changes everything. So we've been going on and on and on, and I still have more questions. We might have to do a round three. I don't know. I would like you, though, to give us a little taste, because I know that this is could go on forever. But we're talking about shamanism and the work you do, but you also help people become successful, not only in their businesses, but in their lives. And it's just not like pain relief like I've received. There's other things. And you've studied a lot of success psychology, and you have a good understanding of like what that success piece is for people. So do you have any tips or something you would like to share with us about how you can put together shamanic practices and being successful? Because to the linear thinking brain, they don't go together, but they do go together. So would you share with us a little bit, not only about how they go together, but maybe a tip or something of how somebody could practice a little bit and see how it works?
Yeah. So we've kind of talked around this quite a bit, where the soul retrieval results in energy shifts, and energy shifts change your messaging out to the quantum field about what you want to vibrationally attract to you. So energy healing is really a key component in the meditation I mentioned at the beginning, helps you calibrate your energy every day. And there's another part of the shamanic toolkit that's really common. It's called a shamanic journey. Is it okay if I jump into that a little bit, Diane?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I mentioned a couple of different success tips, and this is a way of using your imagination. I already mentioned that we have I'm a big fan of the imagination. This is another tool that works with your psychology. So a shamanic journey is like a guided hike in the woods, for example. The way I lead them, you start in a natural setting. You call in your higher self, however you want to conceive of that, the part of you that knows the most. And that person, that higher self, can be a guide. And then you might walk down a little pathway and have some experiences. And I oftentimes lead people to a place that I work with very frequently called the Temple Without Boundaries. When you go in there, there's oh, it's just so ornate and there's a million different doorways and your guide knows which doorway to go in. So as you're taking this journey and you're walking down the trail and you're walking through a little field and then you walk into the temple and then you walk down, go through a door and down some steps into another room inside the temple, you are multiple steps removed from the quote unquote real world that your body is sitting in. And you're actually taking a little journey into your own psychology. And when this is why I mentioned that you can do self soul retrieval by listening to a shamanic journey audio. When you go into that room, and so an example of soul retrieval might be taking a little journey to find a part of you that went offline. Where did you have one client who lost his creative muse? He was a total creator, artist, workshops, music, everything. And the volume of his ideas just went in the toilet. So he called me up, like, what happened? How can we? And we did a shamanic journey together, very similar in the session, where we went through all these different places and way off in the distance, his creative muse was sitting on a beach in Tahiti, pissed off. He was really angry and irritated because the client had said something in a drunken moment, I've got too many creative ideas. I don't even know what to do with them all. And his creative muse is like, oh, I see how it is. You know, you don't care. So these are the types of dialogues you can have in the course of a shamanic journey. You can go and find a part of you that might be related to, you know, why am I not able to have the type of relationship I want? And have a dialogue with that part of you. And in the context of the journey, there are guides, there are assisting energies that can create, it's very much like a therapy session with yourself. What's the story of that part of you that left? Why did they leave? And I just shared the story of my friend who lost their creative muse. Why did they leave? What sent them away? Was there a fear? Now in this present moment, is there something you can give to that part of you that would help it feel secure and safe to return to you? So you have this dialogue and you negotiate with that part of you and heal that part of you. And then that part becomes willing to come back in under these conditions, keep your promises, and steps back in. And then you can also have that same experience of that part of you returning to a part of your body and your nervous system that you didn't anticipate. And then you come all the way back out the journey, like out of the room, maybe instead of being dark now, it's lighter and you can see more, you have clarity. You come back all the steps through the temple, all the way back through the field, and come all the way back to your natural setting and then back to the room that you're in. You've made an adjustment in your psychology. You've made a shift and a change. And there was for 1 year, I saw another therapist who, this was her whole, I mean, she was a licensed professional counselor, and the way she worked with people was to take them on a shamanic journey. When I came back after every one of those journeys, I was forever changed. It's a little different than counseling, where you often feel like you're revisiting the same topic over and over again. If you're just processing it on the mental level, you're not processing it on the emotional level, the mental, the physical level, or the spiritual level. And I have found over and over and over again, if you don't release an issue on all four levels, it's going to come back in some form or other. And that's why I'm so grateful that you found this really talented massage therapist to collaborate with me. I feel like we both helped you release this pain that you've had for many years. So you can bring this energy back and self-adjust by even listening to an audio journey and find these big, major, and permanent shifts happen for you in your life to open things up. So this is why I get so excited about putting shamanism and success together. It's such a passion for me that I want everybody in the world to have everything they ever wanted. everybody in the world to have everything they ever wanted. And this is my little foray into making that happen.
I love it. I love it. I was just thinking that when I was in graduate school, I knew a lady who was a therapist, and she would do all of these more like a shamanic journey, as you describe it, than a meditation, as another person would describe it. So that, you know, it's like, wow, I've been exposed to pieces of what you're talking about throughout my whole long career in education under different names, but the same kind of idea. And so that's really exciting for me. And so if somebody wanted to have a shamanic journey, like do one, obviously they can contact you, and all your contact information is in the show notes of this show and the previous one, episode 75 from February 12th, to remind you. And they can contact you and do it directly. But I'm curious if you have a way that you can help people with shamanic journeys, not necessarily in person live. Do you offer them recorded, or do you offer some kind of program to help people who maybe are curious or want to start seeing how they can get some movement in their life? How do you help people with that area?
So shamanic journeys are really perfect to listen to in an audio format. And you can even take this, that way you can take the same journey multiple times and resolve multiple different types of issues that you might have. So I have recorded journeys, and I'd love to offer those to people. And then I'm also going to be opening a program that's going to be oriented for people who feel a little bit disconnected, maybe from themselves or from other people. People are looking to create more authentic connections and deepen relationships that they have with themselves and others. And that program is going to launch here, and you can step into it at any time. And we'll be focusing on, I think loneliness and disconnection, I know from my own experience, is there's many different aspects to that. Kind of like procrastination is like that too. There are many different pieces to those types of, you know, you do, it's just one word, but it's many different aspects. And so we'll do journeys to help people align themselves with their higher self and their strength, so they can have better relationships with other people, show up in a more confident, graceful way. We'll have other journeys that help them regain parts of themselves that are maybe keeping a wall up subconsciously that they didn't realize, preventing them from receiving the love that's available already in the current relationships they have. So this is what I'd love to share with people. Anytime you want to contact me, I'm really happy to help you do some soul retrieval through a shamanic journey.
Oh, that's amazing. So these groups that you're going to start doing, you're going to do the shamanic journey with them live?
We're going to do it live. And then, of course, it'll also be available in the audio format after the live version.
I'm signing up for that. Oh, my word. That's an amazing thing. So many powerful things that you offer in a way that can really help all of us transform our lives, be more successful, be more happy. I kind of see it as this great energy vibration thing with a high amount of intelligence woven all through it all. And it's just a really genius work. That's a great, great thing. So I will make sure all of the ways to contact you to sign up for that group and to work with you individually or whatever are in the show notes for this episode, because it's a very powerful work. So I tell you, if you're stuck in any way, you might want to call Octavia. Just saying.
Diane, you flatter me so much. I really appreciate it.
Is there anything you'd like to say as we close the show after an hour or so of amazing, powerful conversation? And I could go on longer. However, I think we'll just do an episode 3. It'll be more fun. So what else would you like to say? Is there one final thing you would like to say as we close?
I just embrace everyone's highest potential and highest success. I think the world really needs you to come out from behind any and all of your personal walls and obstacles and contribute in your freedom. Being free is what I think the divine really wants for us. Free and happy and joyful.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Octavia Brooks, an amazing shamanic healer and overexcitable intellectual geek as well. What a great combination, right? So remember, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. This world really needs your gift. You are here, fully equipped. You've got what you need. Remember that all you need to do is have a little jumper cable and you too can be the happiest you've ever been. So until the next episode, remember, you're a rock star and go for it.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at MissDianeAllen.com. That's MissDianeAllen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.